Welcome to the Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Flamenhaft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Aleph. Technically, according to the Gemara in Baba Basra, Divrei Hayamim is really one complete book, and therefore we are picking up where we left off in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chavtet. As we go through the Sefer, we are going to notice that Divrei Hayamim contains many narratives that have already been recorded in Sefer Shmuel Melachim. So we need to address that if Divrei Hayamim contains stories from the books of prophets, why is it part of Ketuvim, the books of writings? The Abarbanel explains in his introduction to Divrei Hayamim that the books of Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, and Melachim were written by Nevi'im, prophets, whereas Divrei Hayamim was written by Ezra and concluded by Nehemiah with Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Ezra and Nehemiah did not receive a divine command to write their books like the other Nevi'im prophets did, and Ezra and Nehemiah did not receive a nevuah, a direct prophecy directing them what to write. And therefore, Divrei Hayamim, which contains stories from books of prophets, is itself a book of Ketuvim, of writings. We will notice that there are stories that are left out from Shmuel Melachim in Divrei Hayamim. This is because, the Abarbanel explains, Ezra had a very specific goal in mind when writing Divrei Hayamim. Ezra wrote it after the 70 years of Babylonian exile. The Jews were shocked when the temple was destroyed and the Jewish people were exiled. They never thought it would happen. They thought that they had been permanently rejected by God. This Sefer was meant to encourage and inspire the Jewish community that they are still the chosen people, and the mission to live in Israel and build the second temple is still a goal for them to try to achieve. So Divrei Hayamim leaves out all mention, for example, of Malchut Yisrael, the northern kingdom, which was exiled in 724 BCE. It no longer existed and wasn't relevant to this goal. It also only contains narratives about Malchut Yehuda, the Davidic dynasty. Abarbanel says, even then, it only contains stories that praise David and his kingdom. Stories about David's personal life, which were not praiseworthy, or about his kingdom that were not commendable, are left out. So, as we go through Divrei Hayamim together, we will note the narratives from Divrei Hayamim that it does contain, how they are parallel to Sefer Melachim, and how, at the same time, there are differences. And we will try to understand them. Ezra wanted the Jewish people to know the eternity of the Davidic dynasty, and that when Cyrus invites them to come back to Israel, they have a descendant, Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, a direct descendant of David, so that they can rebuild the temple and return to their former glory. So let us begin with the first chapter of Divrei Hayamim Bet, which is about the beginning of Shlomo's kingdom. The first pasuk says, "Vayitchazek Shlomo ben David al malchuto, v'Hashem elokav imo, v'yigadleya lamala." Shlomo, the son of David, strengthened his hold over his kingdom. Hashem, his God, was with him and made him exceedingly great. A consolidation of power was necessary because even though Shlomo's kingship was firmly established, not everyone was willing to accept him. In the first two chapters of Melachim Aleph, we saw how Adoniyahu, Eviatar, Yoav, and Shimi ben Gera tried to undermine Shlomo's kingdom. They were eliminated and neutralized. This pasuk concisely sums up the events of those first two chapters of Melachim. Next, Shlomo invites the people to bring sacrifices to the Bama altar in Givon. Let us look at verses 3 and 4 to see what happens. Vayelchu Shlomo v'chol kahal imo lebama asher b'Givon. Kisham haya ohel moed, asher asa Moshe eved Hashem b'midbar. Aval Aron ha'elokim ha'ela David mikiryat yarim ve'echin lo David ki natalo ohel b'yushalayim. Shlomo and the whole congregation went with him to the Bama, the altar in Givon, because that's where the tabernacle, tent of meeting, that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, made in the desert. But the Ark of God was not there because David had brought it from Kiryat Yearim to Jerusalem and put it in a tent that he erected there. So let's try to understand what's going on with all of these details, especially in light of the fact that the parallel verse in Malachim, chapter 3, verse 4, simply states, Vayelech HaMelech Givona Lizboach Sham Ki Hi HaBama HaGdola. The king went to Givon to bring sacrifices there because it was the great altar. So why do we have so many details in our psukim? First, let's take a moment to understand that a bama is an altar for Hashem that is legitimate as long as the Beit HaMikdash was not constructed. The minute the Beit HaMikdash was constructed, then a bama was considered a private altar to Hashem and was not permitted. Givon was the location where all communal sacrifices were brought. It contained the tabernacle which Moshe built. But Ezra was explaining and referring to it as a bama because the Holy Ark wasn't there. The generation that Ezra was writing this for grew up with a Beit HaMikdash. They would not have understood what was going on with the king going to bring sacrifices at a bama. And therefore, he was reminding them that it was a bama because the Aron wasn't there, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet. But another detail that stands out in Pasuk Gimel that we read was when it says that the Ohel Moed was built by Moshe, who was an Eved Hashem. An amazing description, a very rare and unique one, barely achieved by most. But why is it added here? Rosh Hashanah 21b explains, Shlomo really wanted to be like Shlomo. The Kabbalists wanted to be like Moshe, excuse me. The Kabbalists even point out that Shlomo's name can be arranged to say Le Moshe. So the first thing Shlomo did after he consolidated his kingdom was go bring sacrifices in Givon, because he would come into the contact with the tabernacle that Moshe made. So if we were to understand the parallel accounts, what we see in Malachim is the over-motivation that led Shlomo and the people to bring sacrifices in Givon, whereas here in Divrei HaYamim, it is recorded what Shlomo's inner layer of consciousness was. And therefore, the two can be reconciled by understanding both things are what motivated Shlomo to go to Givon and bring sacrifices. That night in Givon, Hashem appeared to Shlomo and asked him what he wanted. Shlomo asked for wisdom, which Hashem granted him. When it was time to leave Jerusalem, when it's time to leave to Jerusalem, we notice another interesting detail in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Vayavo Shlomo labama asher begivon Yerushalayim milfnei Ohel Moed vayimloch al Yisrael. Shlomo went to the bama in Givon, Jerusalem, from before the Ohel Moed, and then he ruled over Israel. It's very difficult to understand the way that this pasuk is written. Shlomo is already in Givon and already at the bama. So if this pasuk is telling us that Shlomo was leaving Givon and going to Jerusalem, why does it say that Shlomo came to the bama in Givon, Jerusalem? Why doesn't it just say he left the bama or say that he was going to Jerusalem? It is written enigmatically. We can find an answer to our question in the Gemara, in Yoma 53a. There, the Mishnah teaches that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to exit and come out the way he entered in the temple. He does not turn around, but walks backward with his face toward the ark. This is what a lot of us do when we are walking away from the Kotel. We walk backwards for a little bit so as not to turn our back on it. The Gemara asks, what is the source in the Torah for this halacha for the Kohen Gadol, for the high priest? Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani answers with our pasuk, that when Shlomo, just as when Shlomo arrived in Givon, his face was turned toward the Bama, the altar, so too, when he exited Givon to go back to Jerusalem, his face was still turned toward the Bama. And this teaches that one does not turn his face away from a sacred place. He must walk backward. And therefore, the Gemara learns this halacha from the way that our pasuk is enigmatically written. The chapter ends with Shlomo in Jerusalem, amassing many chariots and horses. He is now ready to begin building the Beis HaMikdash. This shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bat Gedalyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Sion left an indelible mark on her many students.